Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the
word. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Earlier this week, I saw a survey by some group in the USA which said that only 51%, they call themselves people of faith or evangelicals, only 51% of them are planning to vote in the election. That means 49% are not planning to vote. And so I saw the outrage of the people who are on the Trump side, saying, "You people, you have an opportunity to avert darkness, but you've chosen not to vote." Now, that's when I saw how debilitating the effects of religion can be on the church. Because I went and read through some of the comments there by Christians, and they were shocking for their ignorance. And some of them were saying, you know, if Trump promises to ban homosexuals and put a blanket ban on abortion, then and only then shall we consider voting for him. And others were saying that I cannot vote for a man who cheated on his wife 3 times. Basically, and things like that. Like, you know, real rubbish. I was going to use a stronger word. Then I remembered I'm on the pulpit. Praise the Lord. But even if I use it, there's nothing you will do. Hallelujah. So, they really say that, you know, he cheated on his wife, he did this, they bring out all these things about him, about his personal life. And they make them such a big deal, and they don't see what's at stake. They really don't see what, and so I was wondering, what is the source of all that? And I realized that the mindset of the church has been caught up in a time so long ago, not just there, but here as well, that they have not moved with the times. So then I realized that if King David had come and lived in this generation, they would have said, no, he killed a man because of his wife. We are not going to vote for him. But as far as God is concerned, he's a hero. Christ is the son of David. And even the New Jerusalem where we are going to be is the city of David. A man who killed his wife, somebody's husband, to take the wife. So then you realize that God's heroes don't always follow what the church or the moralistic church has made it to be. If Moses, the prophet, came in these days, they would reject him because he's a murderer. Remember how he killed the Egyptian person? They would reject him. And then the scripture says, before him, there was no prophet like Moses, neither was there any after him who God spoke to face to face. Not in dreams, not in visions, but face to face. They can see each other. But if he had come in this generation, they would have said he's a murderer. We have evidence that he killed an Egyptian. Praise the Lord. Then you realize that there is a total disconnect in the church between what is actually of substance and what is not. And then you realize that they don't understand the principle of dominion. The people of darkness, when they were changing the culture, making some of those things mainstream, they take their time. They don't do something suddenly and wake up. If they had woken up in the 1960s and passed laws legalizing homosexuality, it would have flopped even up to today. Because you awaken people. So, but they do it in a subtle way. Subtle way through Hollywood, through, you know, a few people, and then they bring it up slowly, slowly down. They are doing a cultural change. They are changing the culture. And then you come to a time when actually you can no longer, like in some of those countries, stand up and fight them openly. Even if you don't like them, you just have to keep quiet because they have changed the culture slowly over a period of time. Now, of course, the believers, they want somebody who is going to come and say, I'm going to ban it. I'm going to put a blanket ban on abortion. Those are their things. And nobody is going to do that. If he does it, he's stupid. He's not going to get elected. But you see, the church always belongs as if the elections are going to be held in the church. Praise the Lord. And you see, the world wants to put us in that direction. Where you be there, be in the church. So you come out and you're trying to appeal to people in your church. So you come up with positions and so on and all that. When you're going for dominion, you have to get rid of all those religious constructs. By the way, you really have to get rid of them. Otherwise, you're just going to be a churchy person and go to heaven broke and busted. Because dominion is not made in the church. You're not going to dominate anybody here. We all have the Spirit of God. At least I hope we do. The people who are going to be dominated are out there. Praise the Lord. And you have to go and find them there. Now, that whole churchy attitude of, you know, this one is what. So you come up and say, I'm born again and I'm going for politics. Then suddenly they bring out a litany of things which you've done wrong. And they start asking you questions. One person asked me, and you see, like, anyway, it's pointless dealing with some of these people. You just wait for them to. One person asked me that, so are you going to ban all witch doctors? I told him that you go and preach to them the gospel. Who told you you're going? Who told you politics is going to solve your spiritual issues? Next thing you'll ask me, are you going to force everybody to be born again? Like, that's stupidity, eh? Stupidity. Now, if you're going for dominion, you take off your shoes and enter a mosque. I've done that so many times. Okay? You are reaching out to people. You see? Now, there are some people who say, what? You went into what is there? Huh? What is it? Now, there are certain things which... And now you see, when you have a dominion mindset, everything, and it's a mindset before it even ever is anything, everything about you, about the way you see things changes. For instance, you know that you're not employed at that place. You are deployed there. So you get a job and you see yourself as having been deployed there rather than employed. If you're employed, you're not in dominion. If you're deployed, you are in dominion. Amen? If you have the dominion mindset, you will know that God does not control the world. God controls the church. And the church is supposed to control the world. Praise the Lord. God does not control the world. He controls the what? And he expects the church to control the world. So now it is your responsibility to wake up and actually go and control some thing in the world, and thereby shall the kingdom of God be extended in that place when you're in control of it. Amen? Because God never, Psalms, you know, he says the heavens and the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. He does not have jurisdiction here. The only people who have jurisdiction on earth are people who are born of a woman. And when God wanted to do something which we could not do for ourselves, he himself had to go and be born of a woman. That's how he had authority to operate on earth. He had to be born of a woman like everybody else, even if he was God, and then he got jurisdiction. Other than that, he had none. If Jesus had come with all his godly powers, he would have been cheating the system. Because the system set by God says the earth belongs to the sons of men. Praise the Lord. Now, when you understand that and you know that God's control will never exceed your control. God's control over the affairs of the world will never exceed your control over the affairs of the world. Then you know that you're going to have to go and now control something. And you're going to be in a place and you know that I'm here to influence something. And then you put things that you know and apply in action. That's at your workplace. Praise the Lord. Now, the people of darkness actually do this very, very well. My brother was telling me he used to work in some ministry. There was a woman, a girl who was a tea girl. But obviously, she had demonic powers. So, they would give her money to go and buy things so that people can have coffee and what, and you know those things. Bosses in ties and what can have. Then she would just go and use the money. Then the permanent secretary would ask, I want a cup of coffee. Sorry, there is no coffee. And the woman looks at him and says, there is no coffee. Then he said, who was supposed to buy it? Then the minute they mention her name, everybody coils. And she had just subdued them. And they are bosses, but they coil. Because she has subdued them. Now imagine somebody subdues somebody with like a small demonic power. And you're there letting people run all over you at your workplace. And you see, those are things which you have to set yourself out to be in dominion, to actually experience it. If you go there and you're just like anybody else, you'll be like just like anybody else. But you say, I'm deployed here. This is my deployment. Okay? I have come here to bring dominion. Praise the Lord. And now when you actually successfully get dominion over that place, God will say, okay, I'm giving you bigger dominion because you've shown me that what? You are capable of handling this. So now you find yourself in a bigger place. And then there also you go and impose yourself. And you stand there and make sure everybody is dancing to your tune, even those who are parallel. Like, do you know, it is just a matter of having it in your mindset. It's just a mindset. Because you have it, there's nothing you have to do to get it. You don't have to pray or fast. No, you already have it. You just have to wear that mindset that I'm not going to be treated like an ordinary person. Praise the Lord. Now, remember, like, when I started doing that, I would practice sometimes. Just decide to practice how it works on small things. For instance, I'm entering a bank and they are checking everybody. Then I just sit there, stand there and say, I'm now coming in this glory. And then you arrive, the guard just says, and even looks at you as you enter. And I'm not talking about me now, because you'd say maybe. I'm talking about me back then. You understand? Because now that happens even naturally. But back then when you're there, you're just there. Praise the Lord. But you just decide, I'm going to wear this thing. And then at other times, you decide not to wear it, and they check you, they start fondling you and what. Some of those people are weird guys. Praise the Lord. One of them got me angry. The guy is checking. I said, man, I'm in a tight jean. If there's anything that could, I can't hide it here. You can see all. So I said, you. Praise the Lord. The heaven, even the heavens are of the Lord. But the earth was given to the children of men. Praise the Lord. Now, if you understand, this is what separates us from religious people. We know that God is not in control. He's not. We are supposed to be in control. Praise the Lord. He gives us the power and it is resident in us. And then we are supposed to go and appropriate that power to be in control. He's never going to be in control outside of his children. Now, of course, the religious whatever thinks, Abnai, God is the one, God knows. So you kind of surrender your thing to God knows. Then you'll be like those people who are saying, oh, we are not going to vote because neither candidate is good enough for us. The other one is this. Now, I'll tell you this. Everybody else has negotiated what will happen when he takes over. Now, that's how the world thinks. But the Morocco, they are not interested. For instance, let me tell you, true story. Okay, not yet, but soon. Coming soon. When it becomes evident to all these jokers that I'm going to be their next president, every group will come and start negotiating. If we support you, what are you going to do for us? The only people who will not come are Barokure. Doesn't that tell you something? But let me tell you, the way I know, even if it was somebody who was from a totally different faith, and I had something to negotiate against, I would go and say, okay, you are going to become, I want ABCD. Let's say for myself, for the church, or for, and negotiate and say in exchange, before you become, this is what I'm going to bring for you. Now that's how intellect, dominion, kingdom mindset people think. But now if you wait for things to happen, like those people, you end up being a slave all your life. You're a beggar. When somebody gets there without you, you are in no position to do anything. But imagine if the church went now, let's say to Trump, I'm giving an example, and said, this is what we want in exchange for the, because they are the biggest group in America. They are more Christians than they are men, than they are women, than they are anything. Imagine if they collectively went and said, we want the following things. A, B, C, D, and in exchange we are going to give you a block vote. Number one, that would make him unbeatable. Number two, they would get there when they have a say. We are the ones who pushed you over the line. But now they are not voting because he cheated on his wife. And some women of you are saying, yeah, even me, I wouldn't vote. If because you will take a more feeding. Dominion has nothing to do with feeding. You understand? It is because I remember how I saw what happened during COVID. And I said, man, how can the church be this powerless? People were going and lobbying. Arcades are open. What is open? Markets are open. What are open? Then they asked the guy, what about churches? He said, those ones we'll talk about after 2 months. He said, 40 days. I said, like you have no say whatsoever. You are like the, you know. And yet the truth is, when you go and impose yourself in leadership. Now, anybody who understands this will know that you cannot be a monocle and you think you're going to divorce yourself from politics. You're kidding yourself. But you can choose to do that if you want. You have a right to be foolish. But, you see, the gospel has changed. Now, seeing some pastor saying, and these things sound scriptural and even pious and all that. You're saying, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So God does not need anybody to be president for his kingdom to thrive. And so on and so forth. And I looked and said, look at this fool. And then you're going to hand the power over to the wicked. And they will show you that for them their kingdom is on this world and you're still here. If you want, you go. Die and go to heaven. But as long as you're here, you have to have some... Like, otherwise, they are going to dominate you completely. And you'll have no say. You'll be like... Now, there was a time when the gospel... The church has gone through periods, like long periods of time. There was a time when the gospel was come to repentance and what... Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Eh? Then he said, man, save, help me, Savior, or I die. What? You know? Very powerful spiritual songs for the time. Eh? Then that time also they were singing Amazing Grace, how sweet thou that saved the wreck like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. And actually the gospel was about repentance to salvation. But oft after some time it changed. Now about 100 years ago, the gospel became something different. It became about miracles. It became about prophecy. It became, but especially miracles, the healing movement of people like Kenneth Hagin, people like Oral Roberts, people like William Branham. It was miracles, especially miracles of healing. Now that's how people were actually converted to Christ all throughout that time, through the 60s, 70s. Now, where we are, the gods, even those miracles might not necessarily, what is going to bring people is dominion, privilege. Praise the Lord. If it is privileged, and it is perceived to be privileged to be in the kingdom of God, many people will come. That's why the scripture says in Haggai 2:8, that I will shake the world. And says, what does it? And the desire of all nations. Eh? Go to the privilege. Eh? First go to 7. And I will shake the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. Now you see, he's saying, he will shake the nations, and the desire of the nations will come. Now what is the desire of the nations? He says in the next verse, the silver and gold are mine. Now if a time comes as it is going to, when all landlords are barokore, all people in authority are barokore, you think you need to preach to anybody the gospel? No. They will come themselves. Because they want that. By the way, those people who are arguing, it's because the church let itself be seen as some losers. So it's totally misrepresented. So somebody looks at you, you see those, have you seen those people go preaching door to door? I remember some came to my house somewhere. I was staying not far away from here. And they came, we have come to preach the gospel. I was born again, very born again, I'd even started Watchman. Then I looked at the guys and said, if I was not born again, there is no way I would look at these people and get born again. They are giving a totally different, I mean, and I'd be like you. like they looked haggard, weather-beaten, what? So I looked at them. I said, no. This is a total misrepresentation. They said, you know what? He sat down there, started opening for me scriptures. I didn't tell them. And then they said, you sabi that one, know what? I looked and said, my God. Now imagine if somebody like that comes to you and you're not born again. Like the total misrepresentation of what God is supposed to be doing. But now when the silver and the gold are his, and when the authority is his, they will come. And that is going to be the new what? Gospel. That's why he says, it shall come to pass in the last days that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now the gospel of the kingdom, of course, you can make it say what you think it does. But what it means is the kingdoms of this world are our God's and his Christ's. Kingdom, the kingdom of Uganda is for our God. Why? Because the leader is of our God. You understand? That's what it means. Because it says elsewhere, the gospel of salvation in Ephesians. So there's a gospel of salvation. But then there's a gospel of the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world belong to our God and his Christ. Now that's what those people are trying to do. Every technology, they want to be invested in it. Okay? I will see someone like Elon Musk. He comes, he picks a candidate, and then goes and has a talk with Trump and says, if you win, I'm going to support you. If you win, I want ABC. Then they agree. Then he comes out and he's strongly, that is somebody who is, if you are going to be doing powerful things on this earth, I'm telling you, you cannot avoid the political question. If you think you can, you're lying yourself. I mean, I'm going to be very rich. I'm going to be what? I'm going to what? But, leave me out of politics. You know Deuteronomy 8:18, eh? What does it say? It says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Praise the Lord. He gives you what? He gives you what? Now, if you think this power means Kanyama, go to the gym and see if you will become rich from there. This power means power. You look at the people who have money here. They are in power. That's why we are going for it. Because if you don't have it, even if you got it, they will take it away. Some of those people, if you don't have a state power backing you up, they will eat you up like sumbusa. There's this guy who owns Telegram. Some Russian-born guy. He was in Russia working for Putin, but he started Telegram. And he wanted it to be, nobody can hack into it and, you know, do that. So he blocked every attempt by government to get into it. Then Russia told him that in exchange for protecting you, you are going to let us get in and see some of our enemies. The guy refused. So he left Russia and went to Dubai. And he was there. But there he didn't have the backing of a state. So he built his Telegram. It became big, big, big. You use it, don't you? It became very big. Then one day, one of the most wicked leaders in the world, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, whose wife is a dude, and is a father of what? A father of two boys, before she became a woman and became his wife. Real Baphomet, by the way. Like, these people, for them, they go all out. They don't play games. If you see the people who are married to men, transgenders, I was seeing even in American politics, all those top Democrats, all of them have transgenders for wives. It's not just like that. It's not like they don't like hot babes like you. No. It is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Anyway, so Macron called the boss of Telegram and called him and told him that, come and we have dinner. Let's have dinner and we talk. Then the guy went, got in his private jet, went and landed in Paris, escorted by a very hot young girl. He's a young man. He's like, he's 39. As soon as he arrived, they arrested him and put charges on him and said that he's facing over 70 years in prison. Then the next thing, Telegram announced that we shall be giving information to governments if they ask for it properly. And then they released him. The 70 years vanished. Okay? Now, if you had Russia behind him, they can't touch you, even if you go to France. You understand? You need the state. Don't think you are going to become very wealthy without. You will not. Now, some of you are saying that what? You're preaching politics. If you don't want it to go away, what power do you think he means? That he gives you power to make wealth? If you think it means Kanyama, go there. Go to the gym and work out. And we see how rich you're going to become. For us, we know what power he meant. He gives you power to make what? Wealth. And then, you have your big empire, and it is backed by state. And nobody can touch you. You see, people don't understand what it means to have state. Those Jews after the Second World War, they realized that they wanted to be seen as citizens of other countries. Then they realized the only way they are going to be safe is if they have a state. So that's the first thing they asked. We want a state of our own. Now, their state protects them. You can't just touch them. There are places they go even for holiday. And the Mossad, they don't know. Those people don't know. But because the Jews are very few, they value every life. You see, eh? So they will go for holidays somewhere, even in Africa. There is a resort they like somewhere in along the Tanzanian coast. And there are so many there in bikinis and what, but Mossad are there protecting them because they have a state. You see, if they didn't have, they would just come and kill people want to kill them. You understand? So now when you have a Jewish, that's why they will die for Jewish state. You cannot confuse with this is a Jewish state. Now we'll protect our people. Now the other day, that wicked guy of France was saying that there should be an arms embargo on Israel. That people should not sell arms to Israel. Netanyahu stood up and said, Wewe. And the guy denied it, that he didn't say it. Yet he said it. Now if you want to be somebody of substance, if you want to just live through life and say and have your house somewhere, then you don't need this. It's too risky for you. For you want to just enjoy your life. Amen? But if you're serious about wanting to do anything of value, you're joking. We're going to have to take power. Thankfully, God has given it to us. The power starts small, by the way. And of course, some of you think, yeah, you're dead, you're dead, and what? You'll be there. Don't come to me when I'm there without you. You know what Jesus said? That those who partake in my sufferings will partake in my glory. Amen? So if you want to be safe, you be safe. Nobody's going to touch you. But don't come when we've turned this corner. Praise the Lord. And by the way, there is no way we can fail to turn the corner. There is absolutely no way. Take it from me, there is no way. We are going to. There is no way. And it starts small, this power. So somebody one day asked me, I went to where I used to work, and the person said, but where do you get money from? So I say, God gives it to me. He says, how does God give you money? So for some reason, because I felt his question was genuine, I decided I'm going to answer him. So I told him, for instance, the other day, somebody came to me and had some work they had been doing, and it looked like they were not going to be paid. And yet they had finished doing the work. And the person who was supposed to pay them was dodging. And now this person was thinking they might not be paid. So he said he came to me. So I said he came to me and said, I want you to pray for me that they pay me. Then that one time, I did not feel like praying, but I proclaimed. I remember it was like 23rd March. I proclaimed that by the end of this month, you will have been paid. He got his check on 31st March. Then he came and gave me $1,000. That was long ago. So I said, that's how God gives me money. Okay? He gives me the power to do what? It takes power for me to proclaim that you're going to be paid and you're paid. Actually, that was the time the Lord told me that you don't have to pray about so many things. Just proclaim it. Some, of course, I pray. But others just say it. And it happens. So now that is at the beginning place of power to make wealth. But these empires that we are going to build, these powerful things that we are going to build, we need the other power. Amen? So he gives us power to get power, to get wealth. Amen? Power to get what? To get wealth. Then when you have your empire there, and you're moving on, you have the backing of the state. Nobody can judge you. Nobody can. Let me tell you, these laws of international laws, there is a way they respect the state. I remember when that WikiLeaks guy was in the Ecuadorian embassy, where he spent, I think, 5 years, that Julian Assange. He would even stand on the balcony in the UK, in London, and give press conferences and tell people what's happening and what. And there they gave him an internet, a computer with internet. That's all he needed. He was a super hacker. So he would be hacking all things that are happening and telling journalists, you know, on the balcony. So the U and meanwhile, America was putting on him over a rape charge and all the usual things they put on people. So the United Kingdom became very jittery and were angry. Then they said that he's joking, we are going to break into the Ecuador embassy and pluck him out of there. Then the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, said, let Britain dare enter that embassy, and you'll see how many British embassies are going to be broken into across the world. Then he immediately denied and said, no, we did not say we are going to enter the embassy. Because, you can't. There's nothing you can do. Because you enter the Ecuadorian embassy in UK, all the South American British embassies are going to be violated. But the laws say embassy is not your territory. When somebody enters the embassy, they are in that land of that embassy. They are not in Uganda. So, and then the other things also, which I don't want to say here. But, which of course some of you know. But I do not want it to, because you know people are, they are fools who will cut it out, put it on social media, then it's thrown in, you know, in a swarm of pigs. And they start tearing it to pieces. Eh? Some things are too important for what? For certain people, so you don't say. But my point is, it gives you the power. Let's read this thing again. And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is today. You can read it this way. And you shall remember the Lord your God who gives you power to get wealth, that he may fulfill Bible prophecy that was prophesied and has to come to pass, that the church has to end up on top of everything. Okay? So there is a Bible prophecy that has to come to pass, and he has to give you power to make wealth for it to come to pass. Amen? Now, when you start seeing yourself as somebody in dominion, you know that all things are yours. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:21, he says, all things are yours. Now, that's a very, very powerful thing to say. I think thereabout he says, you're already rich. You're what? And you should... 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. What things? First, go ahead. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter, all the world of or life or death, all things present or things to come, all are yours. Now, why does he say Paul or Peter or Apollos are yours? What he means is that the anointing on their lives is yours to make you, you see, eh? You can get anything from somebody who is anointed. So when that gentleman came and told me he wanted to be paid and I proclaimed it, it could say, Kableta is yours. So what problems you have, or any person who is anointed like that, he's yours to just go and take advantage of the anointing and appropriate what you want using the anointing. So he says, Paul is yours, Peter is yours, Apollos is yours, all things are yours. You can use those anointings to get anything you want. They are all yours. God gives them those gifts for you. So now you approach scenarios where you are not beggarly. You don't even pray beggarly. The other time I was teaching you about lifting up your eyes. Very, very powerful thing. Lift up your eyes. Now if you know that I cannot pray from a position of defeat, praise the Lord. I always lift up my eyes and see something different. There are some examples I would want to give, but I cannot give. But something comes which is immediate and demanding for my immediate attention. And I can go to pray in panic. But I will not, and I cannot. I'll lift up my eyes and see beyond it. And start imagining something far, far, far ahead. And I'm telling you, just as sure as night follows day, this thing immediately vanishes, the one near you. So when I go to pray, for instance, if I had an issue paying rent, I cannot pray for rent. I would go and get a house, my dream house, which I want, which is like how many million dollars. And I would meditate on that and pray about it. You cannot bring me to the here and now. Because that is curtailing me. Because if I actually am tempted to pray at where I am, then some other thing is going to crop up. Then another one is going to crop up. Then another one is going to crop up. And that's how it works. Amen? And I probably told you this story before, but some friend of mine, man of God, his wife was giving birth. So he calls me late in the night and tells me that there is a problem. You know that umbilical cord around the child's neck. So it was a complication. And it looks like it might have ended up in cesarean, and he didn't want that. So he told me, pray for me. Now, previously, and this is a long time ago, because the child is probably like 7 years old now. Previously, I would have such saying, praying for that. No, I don't do that. I just lifted up my eyes and I saw the boy running. And in what I saw was him about 1 year, just 1 year and 2 months. A kid who would be like that, or just started walking, but now running around. So that's what I lifted up my eyes and I saw the child. I saw him running. I was not thinking about the umbilical cord. No, I lifted up my eyes and I was seeing ahead. And then I prayed with that in mind until I actually saw the boy running. Then I went to sleep without even telling him anything. The next day he told me, actually, I'd just talked to you, and a few minutes later, somehow the thing went, and the child was born normally. But you see, that's a better way to pray. Amen? And you see, when you pray and when you see that thing, it has been planted in you and you're going to see it at some stage. So when COVID came and people were locked down, you remember those first months of real misery? People were locked down. So I got a pass for that gentleman to be able to move around. So I drove to his home to take it to him. He couldn't come to my home because he was grounded. So I drove to his home to take it to him. And then when I arrived there, my eyes were drawn to a young boy who was running. And he said, hey, that's my son by the home you prayed for. Exactly the same age I saw in the other vision. Eh? And I haven't gone to his home since. And I hadn't gone to his home before. But I just went there to see that vision which I had seen. And I saw him exactly running around the way he did that time. The way I saw him in that vision. Praise the Lord. So, like if you learn how not to, because you can be putting out fires. Now they are planning to do this. Now they are planning to do this. Now this is happening. No. Just lift up your eyes and see beyond that. See, somebody is planning. They are planning to fire you. Look at your promotion. Look at yourself at the top of that organization. And look, you will see how this one will vanish around you. Eh? Like it is almost like magic. Okay, it's better than magic. It's the word of God. Amen. They all vanish like because they come looking for your attention. Then you just refuse and say, this is not. And you look ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I'm telling you that wealth. Amen. I discovered that I had a problem. I don't even know if I can call it a stronghold. Because one day I was watching a news item in a Kenyan TV, I think Citizen. And they were talking about some former Ethiopian runner called Haile Gebrselassie. And they were talking about how he has built an empire in Ethiopia, your hotels and what, and all these things and so on. And the man is continuing to build and build and build. Now, I remember at the time that my thoughts were, I don't know why these people have this primitive accumulation of wealth. Because I also thought, I was thinking like a fool. Huh? Maybe I was one. Praise the Lord. I was thinking like one. Because I was thinking this is primitive accumulation of wealth. So you're going to get this, that, the other. You know, the way this Indian man has done. By the way, might have to. That guy, the other day, you know that place where he put his kingdom, Kampala? Right next to the road, he built a house as if it's he's going to rear hens from there. Right in the middle of the city. And you say, man, like this is really messing up our city. And there are no laws. So I was sitting at Java's having breakfast, having a cup of coffee. Then I can say, how can somebody build something like this in the middle of the city, honestly? Like, that is not counting in us clever. The thing looks like such an eyesore in the middle of the city. And now you see, he can do anything. It's his thing. So he can wake up and do whatever he wants. He can even start rearing cocoa from there. In the middle of the city. Man, we have to give power to get wealth. And add class. Because you see these people, they have wealth but they have no class. And that is a bad thing. Because people can have money, but when it's from the kingdom of darkness, it comes with a dark glory. I remember the last, when I was launching my book, Strength of Character, and went to that Pearl of Africa hotel. It is gothic. It is like, man, those people, I don't know, like, you cannot escape the glory that is on you, eh? Being on the things that are around you. By the way, you cannot. You cannot. The other day, I took my car for a thorough wash. You know those thorough washes, they even charged me $400,000. It came out looking new. If I took it back where I bought it 5 years ago, it's almost the way I did. It's almost as new as when I bought it. And I've been driving it for 5 years, and I've gone around the country three or four. 2 times before campaigns, during campaigns, and 1 time after campaigns. That same car, it has driven miles and miles. But it almost looks, if I go and wash it properly, which I don't always do, it looks new. Because the glory on me is for something, you see, Now there's somebody, you give them a new car, in 3 months it looks very old. 3 months, because their glory is fading. Now like those guys, they went and bought properties in Kororo, now Kororo looks like a slum. So we grew up saying Kororo, Kororo. Have you been to Kororo? Is there any glory there? Like there is nothing. They have turned this whole city into, they have given it their glory. Which is a what? Demonic glory, some Gotham thing. Where you come in, you. I remember the other day I was driving a Kenyan, and the guy was looking at me, saying, man, you guy. I said, this is not my house. I'm not saying. You know, like if somebody comes in your house and you know there is, it's all over the place, and somehow people blame you for it as if you're the one who is the KCC, whatever. Then you're going in roads and your car is going up like this and what? Then the person is saying, this is the city. Until I got angry and told him, you shut up. But you know, man, because you are ashamed, you have nothing to say. Now that is the glory they carry. You wait and see. When the real glory is there, all those places will look nice. You know, there is not a single thing in Uganda. The other day I was at Imperial Royal. My God. Like, you walk into the, you say, is this a hotel? It's like some cheap concrete. Huh? Like, no. Now, let me tell you, if they gave it to somebody who has glory, you don't even have to do anything. It will start reflecting the glory that is on you. And then suddenly it becomes, I remember some Muzungu guy came and they went and took him there to Imperial Royal. And I was telling him, why do you take this man here? Somebody who was paying for his own. Then they took him to Imperial Royal. The man looked around. The breakfast. Man, the guy was, so, some Italian guy. So I called him. He said, hey, come later, where are you? I said, I'm here. So I went and took him there. So we went for what? for dinner at Serena. Now, as soon as he entered Serena, not that it is the most glorious place, but it's not Imperial Royal. So as soon as we entered Serena, the guy said, now this is a hotel. And you enter that cheap place, even you go up the lift, you get the feeling the lift can die in a minute. You actually want to use the stairs. Like, and that's, those are things which, Pearl of Africa, they eventually closed it. Former Hilton, or former what. They eventually closed it. It was there. Like a concrete. Like just concrete. There is no life. There is no glory. There is no... Man. Have you ever seen that? That guy could be. Eh? Those things. The money is there. But man, you look at this thing and say, but... Like, excellence is a spirit. Amen? That's what the scripture says. Now, we have to bring our glory to this nation. The glory of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Don't think that this nation is going to be anything admirable when we have Bachwezi in charge. Don't think that. You're lying yourself. You're lying yourself. Even they can spend billions and billions on that, but to look bad, to look dead. Now, when you go, for instance, to Nairobi, there are places which have glory, eh? Where you go and say, now this is class. There is not a single one in Uganda, not one. I dare you to tell me any. Not one where you go and see, this is opulence. Amen? You see, you can convince yourself, what, you know, these things, you know what, this is, what, blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember when I went to, when I went to London, I looked around and said, what is so special about this place? Fake buildings, what, okay, a few things here and there. And I was so bored. But somehow, London, but you know me, I can't be convinced by just words. Like, I have to really be blown away, and I wasn't. So I said, this is a Chiwani, I'm never coming back here. Okay, not that I'm never, but I've never gone back there since. And I had opportunities to go back. Then I went to New York. At least New York, you can see this is the headquarters of world money. You walk on the streets of Manhattan, Times Square, and what, and you say, at least now this is, you know, this is glory. And now, even now that they have started going down the path of wickedness, that glory will vanish. But as long as America had that godly thing around, there was a glory around it. You go there and you see, like you see, okay. You walk there, you see, you know, God, this is God, see this place, see places which are known about, maybe in movies and even from sports, Madison Square Garden, what, then you go there and see and say, okay, this is the headquarters of world money. Then you see all the big banks there, you know, HSBC, Citibank, what, you know, almost in the same place, and you're kind of blown away. But you get rid of God, you'll see. All that will become like Imperial Royal. Because people underestimate what you can easily turn glory into a gothic dead place without God. Praise the Lord. California has become like that. Once the envy of the whole world, the sixth biggest economy in the world. If California was a country, it would have the sixth biggest economy. Now it is dead, dead, dead. The places which used San Francisco became a world headquarter of homosexuality. Now it is dead. It looks terrible. San Francisco, on the ocean, supposed to be beautiful. But somebody told me who was staying there, they had to move away and go to Texas. They told me that there you will hardly see a young man and a young woman walking, holding hands. You see man and man, woman and woman. Like that spirit totally took them over. Where, to the point where even when, you know, young kids are walking, boy and girl, in love, you look weird. They look at you and say, you mean you're with a girl? Like, now, the place becomes dead, prison. How did I even get there? Anyway, I'm just telling you my words. So anyway, that whole accumulation of wealth. Now, if that thing was in, even that, like that, somebody has a place which is beautiful. Okay, nice, not beautiful, but good. In a nice location. Then you go there to eat food. And it's like you're eating gravel. The time I used to go to speak apart. By the way, let me tell you, this is no joke. The time I used to go to speak apartments. Then one day I was coming from TV, you know those TV things, and I said, let me go and have breakfast there. Because you have a morning show up to about 9:30. So I said, let me go and have a breakfast there. I asked for the simplest thing to make, an omelette. Even me, I can make it. The thing came looking terrible, and it tasted so bad. I said, even an omelette, you cannot... Like when the glory has departed, each abode. The glory has departed. Now, you see a place which you used to look at, and you look and say, what was it? How did I used to come here? It is dead. The problem is we have nowhere to go. Because the whole country is like that. The places which we used to think were all that, you know. Kororoba, what? Nakasero, what? You go there and you say, my God, the Lord help this country. Praise the Lord. But now when that's why it says that, what does that scripture say? All things are what? Looking out for the manifestation of what? Of the sons of God. Because all those things are in bondage. Now you get that and put it in my hands and you see how the glory will turn. Without even me doing anything. Not even a coat of paint. Or alternatively, some guy told me he gave his car to somebody. Within a matter of 6 weeks, the car looked like it had been like a DMC. And that is the glory he carries. There are some people who even a suit, they put on a suit. And you really see that the glory is not there. And it looks like a suit. for the earnest expectation of the creation, eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. So now, what I am trying to tell you is this. If you have the dominion mind, so now when I was saying that that's primitive accumulation of God, the Lord actually rebuked me and told me that's what we have to be doing. That's what we have to be doing. Getting, and actually even the prophet said it. But this was some time ago when he told me, no. You are rescuing those things from what? From darkness. And even they themselves are waiting to be rescued. Because they are decaying. You have to understand that man is at the heart of everything. When the world failed, when man failed, when Adam failed, the whole world failed with him. The world did not do anything. The world did not eat the fruit. But the world failed and started decaying and becoming, you know, weird. Whereas it was perfect. The scripture says God created it and he looked at everything and it was perfect. When man fell, because he had created it for man, everything failed with it. Now the earth is not what it used to be before. The beauty and all that. So now, it has to be reconciled. The scripture says that he has given us the ministry of reconciling all things. It says, it does not say all people, it says all things back to him. So even money wants to be reconciled back to him. Praise the Lord. There is money which is in bondage. Not like that guy's money. That guy, whatever. All those guys. Now there's that one of Imperial Royal, man. He has hotels in Entebbe. Like, even if you tried to destroy a hotel, you cannot destroy it like that. You don't have the power to destroy a hotel. But there's one where Simon Clinton slept down there going to what? To the zoo, eh? If you sleep there for one night, you get COVID like for 2 weeks. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, something happened. Now, those are places which are looking to be rescued. Praise the Lord. So now when we start what I was calling primitive accumulation, by the way, the Lord rebuked me and told me that is exactly what we are supposed to be doing as a church. Praise the Lord. You get one, get the other, the way they are doing. Okay? Because that's how you get influence. So wealth equals influence. Without wealth, there is no influence. Wealth and power equal what? Influence. Remember, in the book of Esther, I think chapter 8, it says how, and I preached about this before, it says how when power shifted and now Mordecai was in control, and Esther. It starts with them wanting to kill all the Jews. Can you imagine, this guy comes and tells the king, tells King Ahasuerus that, you know, there are people here whose customs are different from ours. They do things with Tetubategi, right? So, let us kill all of them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver in the king's treasury. And the king says yes. That's how insignificant the Jews were at that time. That you are traded for 10,000 talents of silver, and they say you kill all of them. The entire, you know, perhaps hundreds of thousands of them. Then, the whole thing turns around. You know the story. Then eventually, Esther, after putting off her, you know, things and so on, then she starts writing. The king tells her, I've given you my ring, which was like the official signature of the kingdom. So you write letters. So she writes letters and tells the Jews, now we are going to avenge our enemies. The scripture actually says, and many people became Jews for the fear of the Jews. Influence. Eh? When you wait, you'll see how many people will become born again. When we are in, when we have what? Power to get wealth. Praise the Lord. You wait, you'll see. You don't even have to preach to them the gospel. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because of fear of the Jews fell upon them. Now, this is the gospel we are going to be preaching very soon, where you are in control and people come and say, oh, we want to join you because we have seen that what? We are the ones who have solutions. The world is full of sickness, you have health. The world is full of poverty, you have... There is a glory around you. Everything that you get, you turn it around. And there is a glory around you. And everybody comes running to you. And that's how you reconcile all things to God. Remember, it doesn't say all people, although that is also there. But all things reconciled back to God, where he wanted them from the beginning. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Okay? First, he reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. So now we are calling things back. You are in the hands of some fake Indian. Come. And then even the building says, I've been waiting for you. What took you so long? Praise the Lord. And I'm not joking, I'm serious. Eh? We are buildings, what? Man, say, what took you so long? We've been waiting for you. Eh? Because this Chiman, we were looking fake. Huh? Not like that hotel there which I've told you about. Like you put it in the hands of somebody. Huh? Like Rutuama, you'll see. Even without anything, the thing will start looking shining. And that Italian man will not be angry sleeping there. it's not even a hotel here. But the glory. The glory on you. Imagine they build a tribute. That part of Africa hotel, that is a wonder. The eighth wonder of the world. You spend so much money on such a big, and it just collapses. Dead. And you close it. And it's there. But you know, it looks good when you see it from a distance. But stay at a distance. When you go there, you'll cry. The thing looks terrible. Terrible. Oh. There's nothing I regret like putting my book launch there. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, wealth, we are going to start. You remember what I told you last time about ownership, last whatever. Now, here, the wealth transfer, we are in the thick of it. So it might seem to you like we are talking wishful thinking, but we are not. Last time I told you to go and check properties in the banks. You remember? How many of you did? I told you when I asked, it would be like two or three people. Huh? Were you inspired? Huh? How many? Put up your hands if you did. Be honest. Huh? Some of you are lying now. Huh? Okay. Which bank did you go to? Eh? Eh? Okay. Do you have any properties of people who are failed to pay? Very many. Me and me have money. So I'm going to come and what? You give me a catalog. Eh? Remember the Bible says, Isaiah 55, come and buy without what? Eh. Come and buy without money. So, now, I told you the same system that makes the world poor is what is going to make the children of God rich. Remember that? So now, we are going to start what I was calling primitive accumulation of God. The Lord rebuked me and said, there is nothing primitive about it. Everything that you own, you're reconciling back. And it actually has been begging for you to bring. But come and get me. Come and get me. Buildings, money, positions, power. Amen? Now there are thrones in the table which are begging me, please. We are tired of Machwezi. Come and reconcile us back to what? To God. You know, I look at some of you and I see you are looking at me like this. You will be fine. You will be fine. You wait and see. When people come and start negotiating for what? For positions, and because they understand dominion and some Christians don't. You start saying, sure. You cannot what? I remember I went to church, like churches. Somebody told me, they start asking you. but they can be confused, people, by the way. So they start asking you doctrinal questions. Do you believe in this? I kept looking for a vote. I'm not studying to be Archbishop of Faroko. Then they start asking doctrinal questions. Nizendoza. Nemukizambu nabi. Nizendoza. Bichi. So I look at the guy. I told him, Zinaze kusaba karubu. Then the guy says, I cannot vote for you unless I know what you believe in. So now you realize that you just leave those ones alone. Amen? And Baroko like doctrine. Doctrine. Then they start analyzing you, seeing faults with you. You're not perfect. Batugamba. You did this. Yes, I did it. Actually, there's a time I actually said that from now onwards, if you hear anything about me, just believe it. I have no time to explain myself. Anything you hear about me, just believe it. It's okay, because you see, there are people who want you to explain yourself. No. What? How? On what basis? Are you the one who feeds me? What? We'll get votes from people who are interested. Those Baroko were 49% not planning to vote because Trump is not perfect in their eyes. That's how the church had gone off the boil of dominion. They have become so religious. It's all about religiosity and it's so bad. Now we, who have understood dominion, don't think like that. It's about how much influence you wield. Amen? About how much influence you do what? Wield. Now, Mordecai, having done everything he did, this, in the book of Esther, the man became so influential that in the final chapter, it says that all the acts of Mordecai the Jew were written in the annals of the kings of Persia. Imagine somebody so influential is a Jew and his history is in the history of the kings of Persia. He has become, you show us that's the final whatever chapter, the last chapter, it's a very brief one of Esther. For Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings? He was not a king. But your history is in the book of Kings. Imagine like you've grown to such level of influence that you want to read about Mordecai, go and read in the book of the Kings. But he wasn't a king here, but he's there. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't want influence, it's okay. You go and do your things. But for us, we want influence. We want power and influence and wealth. Glory to God. We want power and influence. And if you think that you're going to be there and say, man, I don't want things of politics. What? We are going to get there without you. But don't come. When we get there, don't bring your ambariga. Because there are people who have,
man, I mean to be able, Sagara, I mean to be able, fuzzy, what? And you're being ruled by wicked people. And they are spreading their wicked glory all over the country. Do you know that in the 1960s and 70s, we had trades going all the way up to up country and what? Yesterday, the president launched a very old train, like from 1960s, going to Mukono. And he was there flagging it off. Like we have gone back 50 years. There was a time that, like it was so common, Kasese, where and where. I was seeing a old train. By the glory of wickedness, is bad. It's real. Now you go to Tanzania. Tanzania now even manufacturing aircraft. Do you know that? Aircraft. These were small planes. Two-seater. Pilot and one passenger. To take them across. Manufactured in Tanzania. In Morogoro. For us, we are flagging off the old, what? Trains. During the last election days, the president went to Kisoro to launch a water, what? Taps of water. Like which they had built for people to come and fetch water. Oruzi. He was in Kisoro launching, what? A well. So somebody told me, I told him that by 2026, you'll be launching latrines. Because after all that, you've been in power for that, and you're launching a well. I looked at the thing, I said, am I seeing wrong or what? You know, like, who is from Kisoro? Who can tell us? Eh? But you don't know, eh? And for you, you're from Kampala. A series of taps like this. Some people come with Budomola. The president flagged it off. But man, Uganda, eh? You think it's a joke, eh? But you are not going to be able to rise above this stupidity. Because it's sad. You look at the city, you know we are good pretenders, eh? But you look at the city and you say, I think now we have to accept that something has refused. Praise the Lord. What's so funny? Anyway, let me leave you go and enjoy your weekend. Because there are things which are very depressing. And now, let me tell you, God has a plan for this country. Amen? He does have a plan for this country. And now when we come back, you see those in Tanzania and Kenya. We are going to overtake them because ours is going to be spiritual. We are going to overtake them completely. But that requires faith to believe. Because the other day I was in Westlands in Kenya. Having dinner in a revolving restaurant. And I was seeing Westlands and saying, man, Uganda, the pearl of what? You can even get depressed. That's why I envy people who don't have a burden for this country. Because for them, you just pretend everything is okay. Just go away, go someplace, go and enjoy your life, come back here and go to your car house. And chill. But if you have a burden for the country, every day you're looking and saying, but even. And you cry out to God and say, God, when? But when? These people and their glory have killed the whole country. Totally. And you, of course, some people will still pretend because you have a job. Pretend. Go ahead and pretend. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about giving us power to get wealth. Giving us what? Power. Some of you think he should have added political power. But if you think he meant this power, okay. You know where to find it. Maybe Robert will be the one who is the richest here. Because he's the one who has the power. Yeah? And the rest of the people will be broke. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, I would be broke. If that was the power they were talking about. Again, I would be a pauper. Hallelujah. Okay, I finished preaching. I know there are people here who have designs on politics. Eh? Now, if you're serious, eh? The hand of God is there. Amen. If you're what? And by politics, I don't even mean necessarily at MP and level like that, even lower. Because you see, even down there, I'll ask you something. How many RDCs, for instance, okay, those are appointed, but how many of them are born again? There are about 140, okay, about 136, okay, 47 districts and cities. So that means those number of RDCs. Are you aware that almost 100 of them are Muslims? Why is that? So you think that's not power? It's power. Amen? Even LC1 is power. If you go and what? And you have to go and they sign for you a letter to do something. That's also power. But now try telling that to Barokole. Me, LC1. But you're not going to be in the end. You're going to end up being nothing. But that's also power. There was an LC1 guy. I remember there was a pastor who would come and there was a church nearby. So this guy would bring a crusade. And so the pastor who had the church there didn't want him to come with his crusade there because he was fearing he's going to take his members and all that. So the pastor went to the LC1 chairman, who was a Muslim, and told him, don't allow him to do the crusades. So the Muslim man said, but you are open. What's your case? What's your problem? Isn't that one your fellow local? And yeah, but don't allow him. Now you see some people, now you think a Muslim man like that will get born again. Okay, maybe by the grace of God, but you understand. He just sees you as jokers. So anyway, the other pastor went there and told him that, why aren't you signing my letter to do a crusade? Eh? So they said they got into an argument. The man told him, you man, I'm a Muslim, but I cannot stop you from having your crusades. Me, I have no problem with you having crusades. Gendo was a pastor Munowoyo. He's the one who came and told me not to sign for you. Then you look and say, but man, now, so we also want power. We also need power. Even by the power. Power. There was a man in Miyenga who was moving in a motorcade like this, waving to people. He was standing for LC1 in Miyenga. He had a convoy. And according to the law, if he became LC1, you would be entitled to a bicycle. From government. But even the bicycle money was stolen. But LC1s are supposed to get those yellow bicycles. Hey, 10,000 shillings a month as their salary. And a what? And a bicycle. This, you know, hero. But they know what they want. Because somebody has power at that level. And there are things which will not pass without him. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have intents of power, I'm just aiding by telling you this. You start thinking seriously. We have to. Hallelujah. But now some of you are looking at me saying, Pastor Lord, you cheat us. Okay, let me cheat you. Actually, let me complete. Cheat you and even go out. It's weekend time. Praise the Lord. Anybody sick? Of what? If it's not very private. Hey, what's his name? Where is it? Can you see it before it goes? What's his name? Okay. Let's agree. Okay, let's agree for everybody who is sick here. In the name of Jesus. What's your name? Okay. Edward and I agree that Mobilu has a successful surgery and recovers in record time. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And it is well with him. He comes back here healthy and strong. In Jesus' name. I said that because I know he would, without a point of contact and what, but we can agree for that. Alan, how are you? First come, I tell you something. Because I see something breaking out in your life. Something in a short time, like about a month.
Amen.
Breaking out in your life. And which has been a subject of a lot of pursuit on your behalf. Like on your side, you've been pursuing it. But now it comes out and it will become bigger and grow. And then you will be different.
Amen.
Because like your pockets will be different.
Amen.
Will be lined differently. And it will even show on you. And people will see you and know that something happened. And this is going to happen in the name of Jesus. I speak favor upon you. And favor that opens up that place. And you're sought out. Rather than you, where you've been pursuing, now you're kind of sought out and called. Place where you had a rejection. When things turn around, there will be an acceptance. Because you know people like progress. You understand what I'm saying? And so actually, because and there have been like, you know, where you looked like you are not progressing, but now that changes. That changes, and seeing somebody with that H name, and if such a virtue. I'm going to show you that we are not joking. Power to get wealth, but also we need wealth to get power. Glory to God. Amen. Some people went last week. Some people went and saw some properties on the lake side and what. How many of you did that? Were you inspired? So wonderful things are happening. Glory to God. Some of you did not go because you just came and listened and went home to sleep. Even today you've listened and gone home to sleep. Amen. Sheila, do you own a house? Do you own land? I'm not saying in the test, so I'm saying here. Do you own land in Kampala? Not yet. Those things of taste, so we don't want to see. Anyway, it's okay. I'm joking. Anyway, God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at the_UG Watchman, or email info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.